Hi, this is Matt Grant. You're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me back again.
You know, I wanted to spend time today talking about something that happened this week, and that was the attack against Monster.com. Can you give us a little bit of background on this?
Sure. Monster.com is a website that people use to try to find jobs, and there's other sites that use it also with respect to job searches and things like that. And Monster.com, for a second time in not too long a period of time, was hacked. Someone got into their systems and accessed the database and got considerable data about their users.
And I guess why Monster.com? Is there a particular reason why hackers or the bad guys are interested in this site?
Yes, there is. There's a couple of factors. One, Monster.com is probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest, job search websites,
right,
which means there's a lot of users. So there's a lot of information to be gained by people that want to pull off scams and identity theft. The users of Monster.com are, in some cases, particularly vulnerable because they desperately need employment. And so this is really, really attractive to the people that want what we call a money mule. They offer these amazingly high-paying jobs for very little work. All you have to do is break the law. Except, of course, they don't say break the law. What they want to do is use your bank account to illegally transfer money.
Now, I know that they said that no Social Security numbers were taken, but that they got IDs, passwords, email addresses, names, phone numbers, birth dates, etc. I mean, with that information, you know, what could they do? Or do you have any more insight into what they did take?
I don't have any more insight. Monster hasn't told me specifically what the details were. But with the user ID, the email address, you can, and knowledge that it came from Monster.com,
right,
you can now effectively phish these users. It's very simple to create emails to send to these users that sound like you're a legitimate employer. You
right.
get the information from Monster, which of course you did, and craft messages that become much, much more believable. It's the higher level of social engineering.
Yes, and what should a user do? So if someone knows, I guess, that they've posted a resume to Monster.com, what should they look for in the email responses they get now? How can they differentiate between the legitimate ones and the ones that are from the hackers?
That's kind of a bit of an amusing question, because if the users are doing it right, they really don't need to do much different. Because in all cases, if they're getting a job offer, they should check on the company or alleged company that's
right.
making the offer. They need to make sure that this is the kind of company they actually want to work for, doing the kind of work they actually want to do. So you always need to do your homework when you're going to be looking for a job. So by default, if you're doing the right thing by investigating companies that you do want to work for, you'll pretty quickly spot the scams as well.
Right, absolutely. Well, any other information, I guess, on this or what other websites should be doing to obviously have better layers of protection in place? And what, I guess, should Monster.com have put in place even after the first attack?
Okay, there's a couple things. One, to give Monster.com some credit where credit is due, the fact that Social Security numbers were not in that database is an intelligent isolation of data. You don't have to have everything in the same database necessarily, and if you do, then it better be even better protected. But one of the types of things that they should have been doing already is at least two-factor authentication, where in order for anyone to access the database, they have to have a hardware device, like a smart card that's physically inserted to an authorized computer to even be able to open up that database. That way, it doesn't matter if a password gets stolen, you still have to have the physical component to access the data. And that will go a long ways towards protecting the confidential user data. For the users themselves, they need to change the password, and they should be changing the password at least every 3 to 6 months anyway.
Right. Well, Randy, that's certainly good advice. Thanks so much for spending some time today talking about this particular attack in further detail and what both companies and users can do to protect themselves and stay ahead of the attacks. If you'd like to learn more on this topic, feel free to email Randy at askeset@eset.com. This has been Matt Grant. You're listening to the Malware Report.